Almost every child that I know of wants to be like someone. Many years ago, this was be like Mike, be like Michael Jordan. Many of us can think of that time period. And nowadays, maybe it is a sports star, maybe it is a singer, a songwriter, a musician of sorts, a movie star. But those that are impressionable want to be like someone. And adults are the same way. We have people who we view as mentors, people that we want to be like. What we're going to look at this morning, though, is a question that I feel was raised and brought up during our gospel meeting, this phrase was, and I wanted to kind of flesh it out and make it into a fuller idea. And this sermon this morning is going to be as hard to preach as it is to hear. So I'm going to preface with that these things that I'm saying and the sermon this morning will be really just a series of questions and then go to a verse, a series of questions and go to a verse. So if there's any point in this in which you say, Jonathan, you don't match up with that, come and tell me about that. Because I need to be matching up with it just the same way as I'm trying to encourage each and every one of us to match up and pattern ourselves after the Scriptures. This morning, our question is, if everyone was like me, if everyone was like me, what kind of example would everyone be following after? So let's go and open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 to start with. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read in verse 1. Writing there, speaking earlier in chapter 10, talking about giving all things to the glory of God, the beginning chapter 11, he states, "Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." We talked about the idea of wanting to follow after someone, imitate someone. Well, the person that we're imitating should be Christ. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." We should look to those who are giving us examples to be Christ-like. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you, imitate me." So in the book of 1 Corinthians alone, Paul is telling them to imitate him, look to him as an example as he is looking to Christ. But Jesus also tells us to be an example. Not only should we have to follow after those who are striving to be like Christ, but in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount talks about being the salt of the earth, being the example that others can look to. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll look in verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." He says in verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So as we think this morning and we go through this series of questions, please be introspective. Be retrospective. Look back in your life. Be the introspective of looking in and answer these questions truthfully. If everyone was like me, and I'm going to put in a fill in the blank, answer that truthfully. So first one, if everyone was like me, would the Bible continue to be a bestseller? And what I mean by this is not how deep are your pocketbooks, how many Bibles can you go to Barnes & Noble, to Amazon and buy. We're looking at the attitude that we have towards the Word of God. The Bible still reigns supreme, best that I can tell, as the best-selling book in the world. But if everyone was like me, if everyone was like you, would the Bible continue to be a bestseller? In Psalm, the first chapter, and we'll read verse 1 and 2, the first Psalm states, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." If everyone was like me, would Bibles ever become worn out? Or would they sit there on the shelf, sit there on the nightstand, not being opened? In the short time I've been on this life, I've gone through a handful of Bibles. And many of us can proudly say that we've gone through a handful of Bibles. And how uncomfortable is it to break in a new Bible? you oftentimes would rather go and send this one off and get it rebound. But if everyone was like you, would that be the case? Would Bible binders be a profession? Or would yours still be in pristine condition just like you took it out of the box? If everyone was like me, would TV's popularity diminish because we're engaged with Bible study? Would our favorite pastimes, video games, sporting events, would our favorite pastimes diminish in popularity because we're focused on studying the Bible? It is a sad fact that many of these questions, not only by myself, but from many of us here, would have to answer no, it wouldn't. TV's popularity would not diminish because I'm not engaged in Bible study. If everyone was like me, would the Bible and Bible-oriented material still be sold? This is dictionaries, commentaries, books, articles, bulletins. These things where we look at other men and women who are pointing out what they think about the Word of God, and we're studying it and things like that. Would those diminish in popularity if everyone was like you? Would those things become obsolete? Let's go to the 119th Psalm now, and we mentioned that this point is not about how many Bibles can you buy. How many dictionaries can you have? Mark, I'm going to pick on you and I for a second. My brother Mark and I often will talk about, hey, have you read this book? Do you have this book in your library? And that's a fun thing to talk about. But both of us know that it is not, okay, well, I have this book. It's what's in here that matters. We can read all the things we want to, but if we're not applying it and we don't have the right attitude towards the Word of God, then God is not pleased. The 119th Psalm talks about this ad nauseum in verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Does it say, your word I have hidden on the bookshelf so that I might not sin against you? Your word I have sitting on my coffee table, unopened, pristine condition, so that I might not sin against you? No, it is not. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Does it turn on the TV set so I can see wonderful things from your law? Does it even say open the commentary so I can see wonderful things from your law? It's open the law so I can see wonderful things. You can continue reading in this Psalm 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So if everyone was like me, would everyone's attitude towards the Bible be the same? If everyone was like me, would the Bible continue to be a bestseller? If everyone was like me, would local churches exist? And this is a harrowing thought. If everyone was like me, would there just need to be two services at church during a year, Easter and Christmas? I think my grandfather used to call them twicers. You show up to worship services on Easter, you show up to worship services on Christmas, and that you were thought to be good for the year. Brethren, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. This is something that God takes very seriously. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. If everyone was like me, would there be a need for a church? Acts chapter 20 tells us that as they're traveling around, they're making travel plans on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. They longed for and yearned for the fact that they could meet together and assemble with the saints. And the Hebrew writer telling us the thoughts and implications of God says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But this isn't a problem that's just for today. It was the same problem back then, because Hebrew writer in verse 25 says, as is the manner of some. Ecclesiastes tells us there's nothing new under the sun. This is something that everyone has struggled with. We talked about in Leviticus the law this morning and all of these holy convocations, these holy gatherings. You don't think that there were some Jews who said, I don't want to go this year. I can't make that trip to Jerusalem. I can't make that trip to go and gather together with the people as God said to do. If everyone was like me, would there be such a thing as Wednesday night services? I found a letter written by one of my great-grandfather, J.M. Kennedy. And this was a good while back in the 50s it was. So in this time, he's writing a letter to a church that's supporting him, and he's giving the totals of people who are present on Sunday morning and the people who are present on Wednesday night. And sure enough, the same problem that we have here, they had then, which is about 25%, one-third of the congregation didn't gather together on Wednesday night. Brethren, we have that same problem here at Walnut Street. We can look at our numbers, 40s, and that's doing really well for us. I really think we're on an upward trajectory. We've seen tremendous growth. But we still have the same problem of Wednesday nights. 25% to one-third of us are not here. Would there be such a thing as these midweek Bible studies if everyone was like you? And the pattern that we see is Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and in prayers. Verse 46, so continuing with one accord in the temple, that's where they were meeting. They were meeting there within the temple. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Not only Wednesday night Bible studies, throw in the idea of our monthly singings. We have monthly singings, and I come away exhorted. I come away encouraged from that, but we have brethren who within Walnut Street are missing out because they're forsaking the assembling of the church together. If everyone was like me, would there be Bible classes for adults and their children? And within this, you can tie the idea of teachers to teach it, people to listen, attendance with those Bible classes. And turn with me to Titus chapter 2. I want to point out this verse, Titus chapter 2. And I'm going to read starting in verse 1, and we're going to read a good section of this. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That to me reads as Bible teaching. That the old men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, they may be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of the good things. That they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all these things. Now, Jonathan, why'd you go there to talk about Bible classes? Notice how there's a lot of different people that are talked about there, and each of them needs something different. Well, with Bible classes, that's one of the things that we're having. We're allowing a certain age group to have the things that they need. It would be no different than us splitting up between young men, old men, younger women. Each of them have something that they need to focus on. If everyone was like me, would the local church be able to maintain their work both by participation and financial support? 1 Corinthians 11, we read this morning, talking about the Lord's Supper. That's a work of the church. But if everyone was like me, could the church continue that work because of my attendance? 1 Corinthians 16 goes on and talks about the collection of the saints, giving orders to the church of Galatia that so you must do also. On the first day of every week, let one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Excuse me, let me read that again. Each week, let each one of you lay something aside. If everyone was like me, could the local church still exist? Both by attendance, participation, teaching Bible classes, singing songs, being financially supported. And as harrowing as that last point is, this next one is even more so. If everyone was like me, would others hear or see the gospel? Notice I put see in there as well. If everyone was like me, would families be grounded in the knowledge of God's word? Paul writing to Timothy, we're going to go back to Timothy a good bit in this section. Paul writing to Timothy says, "Remember when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also." Timothy was grounded in the knowledge and confirmation of God and God's word. But that came from family standing their ground and standing for truth. So I ask you, if everyone was like you, would families be grounded in the knowledge of God's word? 2 Peter 3 and verse 18 gives a commendation for all of us, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. So that's our family. But we know that the gospel is not just for our family members. Would neighbors, friends, co-workers ever learn about the truth if everyone was like you? If everyone was like me? Philippians chapter 1, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, in chapter 1 and verse 27. That I can hear of your affairs, Paul writes, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Would our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers learn about Christ by our speech, our behavior, our dress, our recreation, how we spend our time? Would our friends, neighbors, co-workers, those we come in contact with, ever be invited to a Bible study? Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells them that their labor is not in vain. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We know that work of the Lord is spreading the gospel and the good news. If everyone was like me, would anyone be talked to about spiritual things? If everyone was like me, would our speech reflect interest in God's word? Or when we get to work and we're in the line at Walmart or we're at the gas station, we're talking to those amongst the world, do we talk about politics or sports or our job or the weather or things like that? Peter reminds us. And the funny thing about Peter is we see when Peter's at his lowest, whenever he denies Christ. But let's read what he says in 1 Peter chapter 3, with that in mind, that he denied Christ at one point. But what does he commend us to do? Via the hope of salvation that he has, he knew he could be forgiven of that sin, and he goes on, and he says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and with fear." So if everyone was like me, would anyone ever hear or see the gospel? If everyone was like me, would erring Christians be restored? Those that have fallen away from this group, if everyone was like me, would they be reached out to? And I'll be very plain to say this is a fault of mine. So if you need something to say, Jonathan, you need to work on that. That's this point. Galatians chapter 6 is very plain. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." There's no wiggle room in that. It's clear. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual." And I would say most of us here would say, yeah, I try to be spiritual. But are we reaching out and making sure that those who have obeyed the law of Christ but have erred away from it and are no longer with God, do we reach out to them so that they're restored? If everyone was like me, would worship services need to be canceled? Would the local church have to close its doors during sporting events, during family gatherings? Well, all my family's in town. Will the local church have to close its doors during golf tournaments, fishing tournaments, hunting season? If everyone was like me, would those things have to take place? Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, once again going back to the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking hard things to this Jewish audience. He tells them, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Oftentimes we put the emphasis, as I just did, on seek first the kingdom of God at 100%. Let's put the emphasis on first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not second the kingdom of God. If everyone was like you, would we be able to have Bible classes? If everyone was like you, would Bible classes need to be canceled because parents allowed their children to stay home, attend sporting events, to spend the night with friends? Well, you have a lot of homework to do, so you need to stay home from Bible class in order to get this done. Once again, I remind you of the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 8, Jesus once again says, now the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they'd heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Let's not kid ourselves. When we forsake the assembly of the saints, when we don't come to Bible class, but we come to worship services, we're not showing fruits of maturity. We're being choked by cares of the world. If everyone was like me, would worship services be canceled because everyone made the deliberate choice to go to work instead? We can talk in abundance with this one. And with this, I want you to know, I told Jacqueline I would do this, I didn't. I'm under the assumption that you know that I know of all of the extenuating circumstances that go with a lesson like this, of illness, of you're the only one that can do this, you need to be... But for the sake of this lesson, let's be honest with ourselves. And we're not going to talk about those extenuating circumstances. Those are things that you'll have to answer for. Would worship services be canceled because everyone made the deliberate choice to go to work? Let's turn and read in Luke. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, he said, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. Continuing to read in the book of Corinthians, we'll go to 2 Corinthians this time, chapter 6. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Yes, that's an Old Testament quote, but that is to us today. Verse 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, therefore come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean and I'll receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 7 talks about cleansing ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, being perfected in holiness and the fear of God. James chapter 4 and verse 4, adulterers and adulteresses, that's harsh language. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Who therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. There's only one way on that street. You're either going for God or you're not. And you're against. If everyone was like me, would anyone be ready at judgment? And as harsh to hear as some of those other points were, this one is where many of us are condemned. This is where the world is condemned. Would anyone be ready at judgment? Matthew 25 and verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? And just as Jesus says, once you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. We have to use our opportunities for good. Any opportunity that we have to spread the gospel of Christ and to pronounce the good news and the coming judgment to others, we should be doing. Galatians chapter 6, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. John chapter 9 and verse 4. If everyone was like me, would anyone be ready at judgment? And we can show this by obedience to God's word, making sure that ourselves, we are squared away, and then not holding and not hoarding that good word that God has given to us, but sharing with others. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. But we also have to have a prepared heart. We can have a prepared heart, and we can help to prepare the hearts of others by spreading this gospel message. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And we've already read that if we're making the Bible a bestseller and we have the right attitude towards the Word of God, well, what's in our heart? The Word of God. And all of those issues of life that the proverbial writer says spring from our heart, well, those are taken care of already. Because the only thing within our heart is not the issues of life, but the Word of God. But God be thanked, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Friends and brethren, the purpose of this lesson is not to rake myself or any in this audience over the coals. The purpose of this lesson is to be sure that we are all striving to be perfected, knowing that perfection exists within Jesus the Christ, and not that we will ever be perfect, but that we can be perfected in something. Will we err? Will we slip up? Yes. But when we err and when we slip up, we have to follow after Jesus the Christ. If everyone was like me, I'm going to turn this off and back on again. If everyone was like me, if everyone was like Jonathan, would Walnut Street continue to exist? I hope that I can proudly say that yes, it would. Insert your own name into that. If everyone was like you, would Walnut Street as a congregation still exist in Jessup, Georgia? Let's think about what the purpose of Walnut Street Church of Christ is here. To spread the gospel, to spread the good news, to be a meeting place for those who are like-minded, and to be a gathering place for those who are currently not with us. And when I say not with us, not just the small crowd that we have people that are traveling, people that are sick, but that those people within the world, people who are right now sitting in pews trying to find Christ. So our final point. If everyone was like me, would anyone be like Christ? If everyone was like me, would there be anyone like Christ? And brethren, I know that there are no two people that are alike in every way. That is noted, that is understood. But we have to be of the same mind. Is everyone going to be able to do the same things? No. Notice within this, I didn't talk about if everyone was like me, would there be any preachers? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being of the same mind. Being of the same judgment in spiritual matters. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, now I plead with you, brethren. Paul is pleading with them. By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Philippians chapter 3 says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. And what mind is that? That's the mind of Christ. That's not Jonathan's mind, that's not anyone's mind. That's the mind of Christ. And if we're all trying to be like Christ, all of those other issues that I talked about today, all the other negative things, those will be handled if we've tried to be like Christ. We'll close with Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to read starting in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And looking at this audience this morning, I know for a fact that we love God. That all things work together for good to those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, these He also justified. And whom He justified, these He also glorified. So, as we go throughout this week, let's think about ourselves in spiritual matters. And focus on ourselves as if everyone was like me. Would things be done? Would churches' services need to be canceled? Would local churches exist? Would the work of the church continue in matters of participation, financial assistance? If everyone was like me, would the gospel message make it out past these walls? We do a very good job of preaching the gospel and what I deem to be the gospel truth within these walls. And to that, we can be commended. But does it ever leave these walls? Let's be honest when we answer all these questions. Let's be honest and sincere, and I hope that you understand that this comes not as a way to call anyone out, but in ways that we all err. This is a way in which we can further the gospel, and that we cannot be a hindrance to others. We know the pattern. We've seen the pattern this morning. The pattern's to be Christ-like, which is what we should be doing. We have to all work toward being more Christ-like, and when we are Christ-like and we are truly Christ-like, we won't have these problems. We'll extend the gospel invitation if there's anyone who recognizes that they need to be Christ-like, but they haven't taken that first step, the step of giving your life to Christ, taking a step out of the old man, letting that man die away, and having Christ fill that void. That's what being Christ-like is. Have Christ fill that void with you put your old man to death. That's done in the watery grace of baptism. That is done in walking a perfected life, not a perfect life. We're trying the best we can to be perfect, but we know that it is through Christ that we are perfected. So if there's any way that we can help anyone that is here this morning, I bid you come while we stand and while we sing the selected hymn. Come to Jesus.